Hello, respected viewers. Okay, this hair is too crazy even for me. Is that all right? Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, Rishi Sunak surprised everyone, not the Ukrainian government, by showing up in Kyiv today. So you cross the border from Poland by land, as visitors to the Ukrainian capital are wont to do. Air travel's unsafe. And then he proceeded by train to Kyiv, where he was greeted with open arms, literally, by President Volodymyr Zelensky. So he brought some joyous tidings to the Ukrainians, and that's a military aid package worth £2.5 billion. That's about a £200 million increase on last year. But having accounted for inflation, it's actually barely increasing. And it includes drones, some anti-aircraft missiles, anti-tank weapons, winter uniforms, the communication equipment, things like that. Don't remember shells being mentioned. But anyway, it's welcome, partly because of the material aid, which Ukraine desperately needs. And the United Kingdom, I think, is the third biggest donor. The USA is the biggest, followed by the Federal Republic of Germany, then the United Kingdom. But per capita, the UK's donations are not huge. It's about quintuple that of France, despite France having a population economy the same size as that of the United Kingdom. Anyway, it's also a welcome distraction for Rishi Sunak from his domestic travails. This Rwanda plan isn't going to go anywhere. There we have his former cabinet colleague, Suella Braverman, stab and twist in the newspapers about his Rwanda plan. Three by-elections coming up. Looks like the Conservatives are only going to lose two of them, maybe narrowly hold Wellingborough in Northamptonshire. So a bit of light relief from that. He can bestride the world stage, strut his stuff and play the statesman. Now, Zelensky himself was only just back from a Baltic tour. He went to Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia in that order, because they're going south to north. No, sorry, I think it's the other way around. Lithuania, then jumped to Estonia, then back to Latvia. These three former Soviet republics in the Baltic, and they're all donating aid, Lithuania being the second most generous per capita in the world, coming only in behind Norway. So the other thing is Ukraine wants to keep this in the headlines because there's war weariness setting in. There's a sort of sympathy saturation. People can no longer feel so sorry for the Ukrainians, and people are diverted by other things, their own domestic discontents, economic troubles, but also the Gaza conflict, perhaps an incipient conflict in the Bab al-Mandab, the Gate of Tears. Which that literally, as in that narrow stretch of water, that 30 miles between Yemen and Djibouti, you know, the US Navy, Royal Navy, other countries may be striking the Houthi rebels in Yemen. So the trouble for Ukraine is that donations be diminishing and diminishing. You know, generosity is running out, especially think, well, the counteroffensive was defeated. That was a Russian victory. Are we simply leveling the killing field? So would it be better to simply let Russia win? Then it'd be just over. Well, no, it wouldn't be over because then Russia would have a go at Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, having concluded that NATO was weak-willed, is completely invertebrate. What they would do is they'd cross the border by an inch and a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And they always do that in very small increments, a bit like they did with Ukraine, actually. Having violated its territory by seizing Crimea and then turning Luhansk and then Donetsk and then a bit more in the east, and so on. So the death of a thousand cuts, salami tactics, the commies used to call it, a thin little slice and another and another and another. So that you don't, if you respond firmly, it seems like an overreaction. So they were there and they signed indeed an agreement between the two. And the United Kingdom is going to give all sorts of assistance to the Ukrainians, such as intelligence aid. It's difficult to divine what's in it for the UK. Now, some people on the far left are obviously tankies, are in favour of Russia's illegal war of unprovoked aggression. They like tyranny. They like the atrocities committed by Putin's cohorts. And obviously they're hardline right wingers who say, no, national interest, nothing to do with us. So they say a bit on the isolationist wing of the Conservative Party, though even they don't propose withdrawal from NATO. And of course, Ukraine is not a NATO country. So is it worth all this money? And is the UK being foolhardy? Why should it show such liberality when its NATO partners do not? And so on. So drones are crucial. As air defence is what Zelensky said that he really, really needs. But anyway, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's message was that the United Kingdom will be with Ukraine as long as it takes, all the way, which I think rings rather hollow. because obviously the UK could give more, but you know, these are straitened circumstances economically. And the British Armed Forces are really denuded. They're short of sailors, they're sort of short of soldiers, they don't have enough troops in the parachute regiment, who may be this rapid response unit to go anywhere in the world, offering other soldiers a month's salary if they'll move to the parachute regiment. So all sorts of problems with recruitment and retention in the armed forces. And it seems to me, I mean, I'm not a military person at all, that to perhaps the UK should get some of the basics right and just have enough shells rather than producing next generation fighters, because that's what Ukraine desperately needs. They just don't have enough shells, just don't have enough air defense. I thought, isn't the thing to do to solve the problem at source? Because you can shoot down limitless number of missiles, rockets, drones. Why not blow up the factory that actually manufactures these things? Obviously, that's deep inside Russia, and Ukraine's had very limited success at striking these factories, and they're not being given the long-range missiles. But, you know, a missile in time saves nine, to bastardize the common adage. British supplied weapons already have been used in Russia proper, not the illegally Russian-occupied regions of Ukraine. So it's not the case that if you do that, Putin's going to hit the big red button and go nuclear. But there were more blood-curdling threats from the chairman of the National Security Council, that's Dmitry Medvedev. He was president of Russia from 2008 to 2012. He got that position largely because he's the only man in Russia who's shorter than Putin. Not being sizes, but honestly, that matters to Putin. So that is Napoleon complex, if ever it existed. Having said that, Napoleon was actually not short. So saying, well, you know, we could use the cluster bombs or something against Sunak is there, but they've actually never done that when a Western leader is there. I think it was just after Antonio Guterres of the United Nations arrived that they did bomb Kiev and showed their disregard for international law, their contempt for the United Nations, despite Russia gratingly asserting its propriety with regard to international law and tut-tutting the United States and the UK for using military action against the Houthi rebels, which is then again is actually in support of the sovereign government of Yemen, despite the Houthis' threat to an international waterway. Anyway, so I was a bit surprised that Sunak visited so soon again. When will Charles the III visit? That's the big question. I thought when that state visit to France was derailed by protests in Paris, nothing to do with the royal visit because of whatever pensions and stuff, strikes. I thought, well, because there were suddenly 2 days as free in Charles's diary, they might quickly go ahead. They might have a contingency plan if such an opportunity arose, because, of course, the Ruskies wouldn't be expecting it. Not that they're going to give him a warm welcome by firing missiles to try and kill him when he gets to Kiev. So, yeah. It's a bit of a morale booster for the Ukrainians, but there's just not enough military aid, and I don't see it coming, which is why I think Ukrainian resistance will peter out in 2025. They survived the initial invasion, which defied all the punditry. They, you know, really beat experts. I don't know of a single person who said they will be fighting 2 years later, but I think it's probably going to be some sort of frozen conflict, greed in 2025. All right, thank you for watching the channel. Goodbye, everyone. Bye-bye.